Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. River Valley is a group of people seeking to connect to Jesus and connect to each other. And we're excited that you're here. Whether you're listening at home, on the job, maybe at the gym, in the car, wherever you're joining us, I hope that you'll open up your heart, open up your mind, and receive a fresh word from the Lord today. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to River Valley. Man, I'm so thankful you guys are here. We're going to do something very interesting today. I'm going to start a new series in a couple of weeks on Easter. We're going to actually finish out the book of Ephesians. So when I was typing out my sermons and where we were going in here, that leaves me time in this section to teach you what the Lord has been teaching me. So that's what we're going to do today. This is hot off the press, what God has been working in my life and showing me right now. So there are some times where I preach sermons and I feel like I have a good grasp on it, like there's things that I've done myself. But this is one of those moments where this is what I'm learning and I want to share with you. I want you to hear the testimony as it's coming out, not as it's all fulfilled later on. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 9 today, and I entitled the message, "The Power of a Permanent Decision." What I'm seeing in my life over and over these days is the necessity to, instead of taking all of the options, all of the possibilities, all of the ways, I have time, I have energy, I have resources right now, instead of just kind of looking at it and going, okay, well, I can do anything, there's moments where you have to narrow down and make decisions, and not make decisions in the sense of well, this is what I think today, but maybe tomorrow. No, there's some important decisions that need to be made permanently. Permanently, in other words, that I'm going to do this, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to follow the will of the Lord regardless of the situations, regardless of the moment. So that's what God's been talking to me about. So if you're new today to Christianity, this will definitely help you. If you are married, this will definitely help you. If you're raising children, if God is speaking, you're like, I think God's wanting me to do something, then there is power in a permanent decision. To truly make a decision and to move forward in progress on that. So we're going to look at Jesus as our example today in Luke chapter 9. So Luke chapter 9 verse 51, keep your Bibles open because we're going to go back to this over and over again. So Jesus is now in the height of his popularity. Man, people know him. At some points, he's got literally thousands of people following him. He is doing ministry everywhere. He is speaking to large crowds. But the Bible says in Luke 9:51 that he makes a decision. And so I want us to see that and use that as a springboard of what God can teach us and the decisions he wants us to make. So Luke 9:51 says, when the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up. In other words, he knew that he was to go and he was to die on the cross, that he was to be buried in the tomb and resurrected. He determined to journey to Jerusalem. And so I want us to use this as our outline today of how Jesus made a permanent decision and the power of it and how we can do the same. So let's look first at the timing of that decision. The Bible says when the days were coming to a close. In other words, Jesus knew that he was doing ministry to all of the people, but that his ministry had to shift and he had to go to Jerusalem so that he could be crucified for our sins on the cross. So there was a shrinking moment of opportunity. There's a timing in God and what he tells you and his decisions that he wants you to make. But oftentimes we treat those in the land of opportunity like America, like, oh, there's all the time in the world. I don't need to rush in this. I need to really consider what are the options and way, and maybe make a pros and cons list of what God is telling me to do. But there's a window of opportunity. I've always heard that phrase in regard to rockets that are fired into space. And when I was younger, I thought that was the window of opportunity was like atmospheric conditions. Well, it's not that. It's that rocket is going for a certain location. And so when you've got the Earth spinning around and going around the sun, and you've got a space station in orbit or the moon in orbit, then there's only a certain moment of time that you can launch that rocket and meet that space station or meet the moon, or you'll be way off course. Same way if you were to think of being in the middle of a track and you want to meet somebody on the track who's actually running in a track meet. Well, you can't go straight towards them. You've got to take an angle so that you can, as you walk slower and they're running, you can meet them at that moment. There's a timing, there's a window of opportunity that the Lord expects you to take. And there's a reason that he expects you to take that moment. but oftentimes he won't tell us why. Oftentimes, Jesus has a moment for us to go and to have, he has an answer for a prayer for us. He has something new in our lives, but he tells us to go, but he doesn't tell us why. And if you're not willing to step out in faith in that moment and go simply because he says to go, then you'll miss that divine appointment that's supposed to happen. He knows that this moment is going to happen, but it's starting way over here. So you've got to get out in front of it. So when we use timing, it's like, well, there's all the time in the world. I'll make that decision later. This isn't really a good time for me. Then you miss out on what God is calling you to do. Some of you have some very specific prayers. You were just praying them. Like there's things that you want to say, God, I trust in you. And God is telling you to do something, and he's not telling you why. And it feels like, it can often feel like it's very disconnected to what you're praying about. Well, God's telling me to do this, but I'm praying about this over here. And what God is saying is, why don't you go and trust me and catch up with your divine appointment in the moment that I have for you? This requires a few things. This requires an extreme trust in Jesus. It requires you to truly trust that he has a plan. He knows what he has for you. He is a good God who has good things for you. So when he says go, you might not understand why, but you know that there's something good on the other end, that there's a reason on the other end. And so you progress in faith. You've got to be willing to go in faith. But we oftentimes, we kind of vacillate on that decision. Oh, maybe I will. Maybe I'll ask some other people. Maybe I'll see if I'm going alone. And we wait on the decision. We think we've got all the time in the world to make the decision. But the Bible says this: if the Lord speaks to you this day, do not harden your heart. There's a reason that he's talking to you right now. There's a reason that thing he's wanting you to do, he's wanting you to do it right now. There's a reason that addiction he's wanting you to give up right now. And the answer many times of our prayer is on the opposite end of this obedient moment. He's telling you to go do something and you're praying about a spouse and he's like, well, let's meet right up there. Let's meet in that moment of faith. So don't put off the decision. Here's the way I wrote it. To not decide now is to decide no now. To not decide now is to decide no now. In other words, to say, you know what? I've got some time. I'm going to really think it over. That's a good option for me, Jesus. I'm going to look at that. Then you're going to miss out on those moments. You're going to miss out on what he has. And to think, well, I'm just not going to decide right now. I'll decide later and I'll say yes later. That's saying no right now. The timing is critical for what God has for you, and he might not tell you why. But you have to trust that he's a good God and has something for you. So today, if he's telling you, if he's calling you into faith, he's calling you into a deeper relationship. Some of you, he's calling to be baptized. Some of you, he's calling into marriage. Some of you, he's calling into a life opportunity and a choice. Make the decision that he's telling you to make now, trusting that that future is out there for you, that he is a good God and he has that. So let's look next at determination. Determination. The Bible says in the verse we just read, Jesus looked towards Jerusalem and he determined to go there. If you have your Bible, you'll look, there's a little cross reference beside it. In my Bible, it was a B. I think it's all of that in the CSV. And you look at that B at the bottom of the page and it gives you a little definition. And it says literally to set his face in stone. This word determination in this verse is a word picture. It's to say, I'm not going to be a living human being anymore. I'm going to be a statue that does not look any other direction. In other words, that's the way to Jerusalem. Here I go. And I'm not going to look around and go, well, let's see. You know, let's look at the other options. Too many times we treat what God is calling us to do as another good option in our lives. But the Bible says that Jesus determined to go. He did not look around. So in other words, Jesus is going to Jerusalem and he's going to die on the cross. He knows that. But this is chapter 9. Jesus does not die till chapter 23. So we see this played out in that he leaves in chapter 9. But in chapter 10, we don't read, and Jesus woke up in the morning and thought to himself, should I go to Jerusalem today? I don't know. It looks like a pretty nice day, you know. Sunny, no clouds. It looks like it's a pretty smooth road up ahead. I believe I'll choose to go to Jerusalem again today. And then in chapter 11, Jesus woke up and thought, I don't know if I want to go today. I mean, there's clouds in the sky. It looks kind of uphill. Peter's cranky. I don't know if I should go today. You know, I'm not feeling it today. We don't read that. Jesus made a decision once. Luke 9:51, he set his face towards Jerusalem. He did not make that decision again. He made a permanent decision to follow the will of the Lord. You and I do ourselves a great disservice when we treat what following Jesus is like an option. A good option, but an option of many. There's a couple of reasons that this doesn't work. The first is decision fatigue. Decision fatigue is we have so many decisions to make all the time. And you get tired of making those decisions. Let me tell you how that looks. Honey, would you like to go to lunch? Yes, I would. Where would you like to go? I don't care. Where would you like to go? I don't care. Well, how about we go eat barbecue? No, I don't want barbecue. All right, how about Mexican food? No, not Mexican food. I have a very specific thing in mind when I say I don't care. And you must go now through the entire list until you get to the right thing. Anybody ever had that discussion? That's an annoying discussion, is it? All right, if you're the first person in your couple to raise your hand, you get to decide today. You don't care what they think. You go where you want, all right? That's my marriage class right there. You are welcome. All right, woo! So here's the deal. Too many decisions over and over. And if we add following Jesus, do I want to follow Jesus today? I don't know. Man, I got to be honest with you. Last night, it happened to me. I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was thunderstorming outside. And I was like, oh, no. I hate rain on Sundays because for some reason, River Valley is allergic to water. I'm telling you right now. I mean, you're like, I can't go outside. It's raining. You know, like just like this crazy notion. And so our attendance usually goes lower because people are like, well, let me look at the weather. Oh, it's a nice day. I'll go follow Jesus today. And then the worst thing that happened to me in the middle of the night, next to a kid going, I don't feel good. That's the worst. All right, but the second worst, we have a box fan that we use for air, you know, and the noise. And in the middle of the night last night, it went off. Our electricity was cut off last night. No, not cut off. We pay our bills. Probably. A tree fell on a line, and we had no electricity. And there's nothing worse than trying to sleep in quiet. Oh, it's so annoying. And I couldn't sleep, and I had to get up early, come preach to you people. I'm telling you right now, man, it was not my morning. It has not been my day. And I know how it is. I know, but when you make those circumstantial decisions on a big decision, you let circumstances dictate, you're never going to feel this power. You're never going to feel the power where you don't have to make the decision over and over. Now, make it wisely. Don't make it flippantly and emotionally in the moment. Like, I get it. You'd be like, well, I'm going to do it. You go out and you post it all over social media and you tell everybody what you're going to do and you really don't follow through. That's not what we're talking about. You understand, you evaluate correctly, but you make a decision knowing that problems are coming. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Knowing that it's not going to be easy along the way. You've got to make that decision. My favorite illustration. If you've been around River Valley, you know this is some of my favorite stuff. So let me show you a hard decision to make. This is a picture of potential Navy SEALs in Bud's training. Buds is basic underwater demolition SEALs training. It's where they go if you want to become a SEAL in the United States Navy. And so after the Osama bin Laden, man, I read a ton of stuff about that. I love reading about Navy SEAL stuff. It's really fun to read when you're sitting at home in your recliner eating Cheetos. It's amazing. I mean, you're just like, I could probably do that. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing. And so I read all kinds of, and so I remember my first book that I read, right after this. He talks about the first day of buds, and he's sitting there, and he's this young man, and he said next to him is a man who was a professional ultra marathoner. He said he was in unbelievable shape. He could go forever. He said, and I wasn't in near that good of shape. He said, beside me on the other side, he said, was an all-American running back in college. He said, both of these guys were chiseled. He said, they were fast and strong and had stamina. And he said, both of them quit the very first day. Both of them the very first day. He said, I learned something that day. It wasn't who was the strongest. It wasn't who was the fastest. It was who refused to quit. That's all it was. Who went through every evolution, that's every cycle that they go through, and just refused, made a decision on the front end, not circumstances on the back end, and made a decision, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL. And so they have to do things like this surf training, where they literally get in the water and they measure the temperature of the water, and they will go either in the surf like this, or they'll do it at night, and they'll put them up to their necks and they measure the temperature of the water, and they have a gauge, and they say, okay, the temperature's here. They can stay in the water this long, and 1 minute more they'll develop hypothermia. And they don't pull them out. They just let them stay in that time, and then they pull them out and they warm them up, and then they do it again. All they want to do is see if you'll quit. That's all they want, to see if you'll quit. And everywhere they go, this is what they have to look at. They have to look at this bell. All you have to do to quit in the Navy SEALs is to walk over to that bell and ring it 3 times. You're tired. You're slow. You're cold. They oftentimes will get in the water and they'll have to do what they call sugar cookies. They have to get sand all over their body, literally their face all over, and then they have to run. And you can imagine if your body is wet from all the salt water and then the sand starts rubbing. It's horrible. And I'll never forget the principle really coming home to me, which I had been preaching about, you know, using Navy SEAL illustrations for years. And a man came up to me in River Valley and he said, pray for my son. He's going into Navy SEAL training. And I was like, you just became my best friend ever. And I was so excited. I was like, tell me all about it, right? And he came up to me and he said, his name was Blake. And he said, Blake just joined the Navy. And man, I was praying for Blake. There's well over a 90% attrition rate in this. Over 90% ring the bell and drop out. And so I'm praying for Blake all the time. And then comes Hell Week. Hell Week is exactly what it sounds like, that big opportunity to weed out the most. And I'll never forget. I knew what Hell Week was because I'd read all these books. But I prayed for Blake. Sunday afternoon is when it starts. I prayed for him Sunday afternoon. And then I prayed for him Sunday night. And I went to bed. Man, it was nice. Let me tell you what. Some of you are like early riser weirdos. And you're like, oh, get up. You know, I slept in the next morning. But when I got up, I prayed for Blake again. And all of a sudden it hit me. He's been up all night long. All night that I was sleeping, my 8 hours, he was running, he was swimming, he was exercising, he was having a man that seemed nice yell at him and call his mama names. I mean, it was tough. And here I was sleeping, and I prayed for him when I went to bed on Sunday, when I got up on Monday, because he hadn't slept. And then guess what? I prayed for him Monday night when I went to bed. And Tuesday night, when I got up, he still hadn't been to bed. You stay up for almost 3 days straight in Hell Week. And then they let you sleep for an hour and 45 minutes. And you get up and you do it all again. There is power in simply saying, I will do this. What was amazing about Blake is that late in his Navy SEAL time, he had a headache that wouldn't go away. And he had decided, you know, I'm finishing. And late in the cycle, it was a lot more learning. And so it's not just, you know, physical, not giving up. It's also mental ability. You have to be very smart. And he said, I have a headache all of the time. And his mom was like, well, why don't you go to the doctor? You know, like even Navy SEALs need a mama. And so he went. And he went the whole way through buds and never rang the bell. And the entire time, he had a brain tumor. The entire time. He immediately had to go and have a surgery to have it removed. But he never rang the bell. There is power in making a permanent decision. Now, that's for being a Navy SEAL, which is an admirable, wonderful goal. I mean, we love if you chose to serve or you were drafted to serve in our military. We're so, so, so thankful for that. Man, that there are people who do not ring the bell. But there are important decisions that you're making right now. And you need to make the decision, I will not give up. I will set my face in stone. I won't look around. I won't vacillate. I will make one decision and I will live it out every day, regardless of the problems, regardless of how hard it gets. I will finish what God has called me to start. I will finish what God has called me. You've got to be willing to make that kind of decision in the important areas of your life. Because as soon as you do, problems occur. Let's talk about problems for a second. Because the last thing I want to do is be like, you should just make these great decisions. It'll be great. God will bless you and show up and no problems whatsoever. That's not true. That's not true. Jesus leaves in 951. He sets out towards Jerusalem and he sends out his disciples ahead of him and says, prepare the towns. So everyone's heard of Jesus. So they're in the town and they're going, hey, Jesus is coming through. If you want to see Jesus, he's coming through. So all the people in Samaria greet him, but they think he's coming to their town to do ministry because that's what he would often do. Go to a place for a little bit, go to a place for a little bit, go to a place for a little bit. But in this one, he's just coming through the town. So there's problems that happen, and the problems happen right away. This is the way I wrote it. The problems happen, come quickly. Progress comes slowly. You need to understand that if you're going to follow Jesus, I'm not promising you an easy life. I'm not promising no problems. In fact, I'm promising the opposite. A hard life with problems. And problems will come quickly oftentimes. And it doesn't seem fair, does it? Like if you, like we think God is going to be like, oh, he's following me. Oh, she's decided to follow me. Let's make it super easy. And in fact, that's oftentimes not what happens. Problems seem to come like right away in progress. I mean, Jesus is like one village over. I mean, he's a few miles down the road and he encounters his first problem right away. I mean, his progress is hardly anything on a map. And his progress is hardly anything, but his problems are overwhelming. That happens often. You need to understand that. Doesn't feel like you're making progress, but it feels like problems are hitting you. What are they? So the first problem that Jesus has is in Luke 9:53. Is that right? The Samaritans, they did not welcome him because he determined to journey to Jerusalem. Jesus loses popularity because of a decision to follow God the Father. He determined in 951 to follow God's will and go to Jerusalem. And then the Samaritans do not welcome him and they boo him out of town. Why? Because he made a decision to follow God. One of the most disheartening things in Christianity early on is when you truly decide to follow Jesus and oftentimes other Christians don't applaud you. Or you feel isolated and alone. Or you feel like you're the only one on the road. If you're not willing to deal with unpopularity, then you will not follow Jesus all the way. It is a very normal part of Christianity to have a season where it feels like just you and Jesus walking down the road. It's a very normal part of Christianity. It's disconcerting if you don't understand because you're like, I made this decision at River Valley with all these hundreds of people there and I thought we'd all be going together. And then 2 days later, here I am on the road, just me and Jesus. And in fact, other people are on the side of the road going, you shouldn't do that. That's exactly what you shouldn't. Hey, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. You should stay here. It is much cooler here. I mean, you should really think about what you're doing, Jesus. This is where you ought to be. They did not welcome him. And the specific reason is his decision to follow God. It's hard in those moments to deal with that unpopularity, to deal with when we love likes, we love sharing on social media, we love the applause of people, and we hate it when all of a sudden we're alone, or worse, it's just us and everybody else is trying to get us to go off the road. It's a very normal part of Christianity. When I when I first started living for the Lord, I had basically flunked out of school at Texas Tech in Lubbock, but I started living for the Lord, and on Friday and Saturday night, I didn't have any friends that didn't party. All my friends were partiers, and so I was hanging out, no one. I mean, I was just hanging out alone at my apartment. And I remember I was like, I can't do nothing. So I would just clean my apartment. I had a really clean apartment because I had no friends. I had nothing to do. No one calling me. Nowhere. I just didn't know any other way than to party. And I knew God was calling me out of that. And I had no other friends. And it was so lonely. It was so isolating. And I remember just sitting down and going, God, like, I kind of thought, like, some other people, hey, you're going to follow Jesus, me too, you know? And it was the opposite. I had friends come over and, like, you know, kind of talk to me, like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, I understand Christianity, but let's not get crazy with it, you know? And then that was the time in my life where I was really losing my hair. So you start balding, you start shaving, all of a sudden they're like, he's joined a cult. I mean, they're like convinced of it, man. And they're trying to talk me out of it. And I had to just sit there, and I remember sitting in my apartment alone, and I was so lonely. It felt like just no one knew and no one cared. And I remember having to go, God, if this is what it is, I choose you. And that was when God began the journey of me to stand on this stage today and be your pastor. That was when he started, because he told me, you don't have to be alone, start a Bible study. And God, I went and bought 10 Bible studies, and I handed them out to 10 friends. And I was like, you should come to a Bible study. And they're like, I'm sorry, what? You know how we used to, like, have keg parties, but now we're going to study the Bible. It's super similar. All right? And so, they didn't know any different, right? And so I gave out 10 Bible studies. That night, the four people came to my first Bible study. And I began to talk to my friends about Jesus, and we began to pray together. And God began this journey of calling me to be your pastor. And it started in loneliness. It started in isolation. It started in, like, just feeling like no one else. You've got to be willing to walk that path. It is one of the problems that will most quickly arise in that. And even to sometimes tell some good, well-meaning Christians that just don't want you to go all the way with Jesus, because that makes them uncomfortable. Man, I hear you, and I'm not trying to say I'm better than you. And man, especially at this point, I just feel like this is what the Lord has called me to do. And you go for it. Man, you go for it and watch God show up in your life. Watch God do an amazing thing. You're going to have to be willing to deal with that. That's one of the problems that arise. Second problem. So Jesus goes through the villages, and a bunch of people come to him in rapid succession, and they say, I'll follow you, but first. I'll follow you, but first I got to do this. And so basically they're saying, look, I get it. This following Jesus sounds good, but I've got a few things in the world that I've got to take care of first. And Jesus is basically going, look, I am walking through your town. I'm going to Jerusalem to die. So I want you to follow me, but you got to come now. Remember the timing thing. You've got to come right now. And they keep saying, no, but first let me do this. First let me do this. And they offer all these excuses. And none of them are bad. None of them are ungodly. But there are things that are keeping them in the way from following Jesus. And so Jesus tells the whole group this. He says, Jesus said to them, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So he says this. He says, if you want to follow me, think of a hand plow with a bull or a cow pulling. And you got to go. And if you want to go in straight lines, you got to keep your head out in front. Because as soon as you look back, look at what my arms are doing. You have a tendency to turn. And you're gonna plow uneven. So if you want to go with Jesus, you can't look backwards, is what he's saying. You've got to look forward. And so here's the lesson. Look, some of you want to follow Jesus, but what you want to do is you want to add him to your current life. You're like, I just want to put some Jesus into my life right now. That sounds really good. My life isn't bad. Things are going well. The relationships are okay. The job is okay. The kids are okay. Man, things are going well. So why not just add a little Jesus into my life? That seems really, really wise. And Jesus says, no. There's some things that you have to leave behind in order to follow me. John Maxwell, this is one of my favorite leadership principles. He calls it the law of sacrifice. The law of sacrifice is you have to give up to go up. You have to give up to go up. In other words, the higher that you climb, the more you are willing to give up in your life. You can't take it all with you. And if you think that you can follow Jesus by adding him to your current life, you're wrong. He says, no, don't turn around. There's some things I want you to leave behind. There's some things that I want you to get rid of. Sometimes they're the obvious ones. They're the addictions. They're the sins. They're the secrets that are keeping us from connecting. Sometimes they're good things that keep us from the best things that he has for us. He will show you what those are. My job right now is not to go, now I'm going to give you the list. You know, here's the things that you can and cannot do. R-rated movies, out. And just start listing all these things out. Like, that's not what I'm trying to do right now. Man, there's some specific things that he will have for you that it's just for you. It's just for you. And you've got to be willing to say, I will give those things up in order to go in my relationship with Jesus. I'll follow you, but first, Jesus, no. Now, and don't look back. Don't look back to what is happening in the past. Don't add me to your life, because I'm going to a very specific place for a very specific reason. Where is Jesus going? Luke 23:33 says that they arrived at the place called the skull. The place where Jesus was crucified was called the Hill of the Skull. And they crucified him there along with two criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Jesus is walking to the redemption of the world. The Bible says that when Jesus died on the Hill of the Skull, the sin of the world was on his back. Your sin, my sin, all of the sin that you've ever committed, all of the sin I've ever committed, all of the sin you will ever commit, all of the sin I will ever commit, was up there on the Hill of the Skull with Jesus, and he went willingly. He did not turn to the left or to the right. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son to die for you. How are we to respond? Jesus gives this entire decision based on showing us what he's going to do and asking us to do the same thing. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone wants to follow after me, he should deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, this is good news for you. This says, if anyone. You're like, is that for me? I'm new to Christianity. I've never been here before. Man, this is all. Anyone can choose to follow Jesus. But remember, timing. Timing is, when do you learn about following Jesus? Today. If anyone wants to follow Christ, then they have to take the example of Jesus. They must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. The cross is the symbol of death. One of my favorite illustrations is to think of your life and think of the center of your life, all the people, all the decisions, all the money, all the time, the business, the children, everything. And think of right in the center of all of that is a throne. And you sit on that throne and you guide your whole life. You're in charge. But when we deny ourselves, we willingly walk off of the throne and ask Jesus to sit on the throne in the center of our lives. Jesus, you're now in charge. You get to tell me where to go. You get to tell me what to do. You get to regulate my relationships. You get my money. You get my business. You get my time. You get my attention. You get my feelings. Jesus, I make a decision today to follow you, and I set my face in stone. I invite you right where you are to bow your heads and pray with me for just a moment. If you've never made a decision to follow Christ today, I want to encourage you. If anyone wants to follow me, if you want to follow Jesus, he is beckoning you. He is welcoming you. If anyone, you've got to deny yourself. Think of your life. I mean, picture it mentally in your mind. The different people, the different circumstances, the different opportunities, the bank accounts, the business, the house, everything. And you're on a throne in the center of it all. To deny yourself is to willingly walk off of that throne and say, Jesus, will you sit on the throne of my life? You're the King. You're the Lord. You're in charge. The Bible says that Jesus, when we do that, and we understand that what we just talked about, that Jesus went to die on the cross for our sins, but he didn't stay dead. He died on a Friday, but on Sunday, Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We're going to talk about his power on Easter Sunday, that power is available to us in our life. It's exciting. But in order to access that, you must deny yourself and believe that God has the rightful place to rule and reign in your life. Do that today. No one can do that for you. No religious activity takes the place of that. You making the decision to be a follower of Jesus. But then I would ask you, what decisions do you need to make today? Permanent decisions. Now, permanent might be a long season. It might not be literally forever. But I'm talking about, man, something that the Lord is showing you. Some of you need to make a permanent decision to follow him. Some of you know the next step he's calling you to do. We talked about this morning about baptism. We're going to be baptizing in a few weeks. We talked about the invitation cards that we're going to be inviting our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors. He's already placing somebody on your heart. Some of you know that there's some things that you need to give up. Some of you need to make a permanent decision that you're not going to wake up on, you're going to quit waking up on Sunday and deciding whether you're going to go to church. Say, nope, it's Sunday. Here I go. What decision do you need to make today? What people in your mind are you scared won't approve of that, and that kind of gives you pause? Maybe it's just kind of a general feeling. You're like, I'm afraid the, you know, people in general. Maybe it's specific people. Ask God for power. God, I want your approval over theirs. What's interesting to me about going and standing up and starting to live for Jesus when I was at Texas Tech was that as I did that, over the years, I got to go back. And I was the only one, it felt like. But some of my friends accepted Jesus because of that. Several of them I got to see baptized. It might be that God is calling you and asking you to move so that someone will see you and they'll follow. Some of you are trying to plow by looking backwards. I want to be worldly. I want to add Jesus to my current reality. And you know there's some things that God is calling you to give up. God is calling you to alter and change. Again, I'm not giving you the list. You know what they are. If it's been a long time since this has happened to you, you say, well, I'm good. My encouragement to you in this moment would be to say, God, have I missed something along the way? Because this is a normal part of Christian maturity. We did a whole sermon series. You take off the old, you renew your mind, you put on the new, you maximize your time. And if it's been quite a while before God's told you to alter something about your life, do something different, go back and ask Jesus, did I say no at some point? And so you stopped talking. Did I miss some obedience somewhere? That's a very common thing. God told you to do something and you just didn't want to do it. Or you put it off so long you forgot about it. Because you were thinking about something else, or it didn't seem right, or it seemed too scary. And ask God for another opportunity. God, I want to follow you. Father, I pray over our time together today. There are decisions that we need to make that are important, that are life-changing. They're not flippant or circumstantial. God, they are weighty and eternal. Help us to understand how to apply this paradigm today to making those decisions well, to refusing to look to the left and to the right, to say, hey, what should I do? What do you guys think? God, refusing to look backwards and say, you know what? Maybe I'll bring everything with me. God, help us to be like you, to set our face in stone and to follow you even to the cross. For it is your glory and honor that we pray and praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. I pray that the message gave you hope, that you were inspired, you were challenged. And I want to also encourage you that if you'd like to join us live, you can go to myrivervalley.church or download the River Valley app for more info about service times, directions, and ministries. And thank you for giving. Your generosity and how you serve as our church family is so important to us. You are helping reach people for the gospel of Jesus. You can go to myrivervalley.church/give for more details there as well. We'll see you next week.